sports, politics, life. Advanced Medical Imaging presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at medimageks.com.
Well, we're going to bounce around a little bit on this episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. We're going to start with the Royals because opening day is right upon us. Then we'll get on to the news and back to the rest of the sports. So it's okay. We don't have to follow a formula here. We do this how we want. And I try to stack the show with things that you might find most interesting or important, depending on when you may listen to the podcast. So we'll begin with Royals opening day. And this portion is presented by ticketsforless.com. No fees ever. You can get tickets right now for opening day at ticketsforless.com using the promo code KKHI. You can get in for as little as $50 in the upper deck. And all you got to do is log on to ticketsforless.com or call 913-685-3322. They have seats all across the entire stadium everywhere if you want to go to opening day, including parking passes, ticketsforless.com. Opening day, first pitch, 3:10 on Thursday. The Royals and the Twins, and this could be the team that the Royals are, if the Royals are better this year, if they just hang around 500 for a couple of months, this could be the team that you eye later this year and say, okay, there's the one. A lot of people think the Twins aren't as good last year. In fact, pretty much everybody agrees everyone in the division is worse than last year except the Royals. Okay, that sounds great, but that's on paper. That's not on the field. The Royals will play Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Cole Reagan starts for the Royals on Thursday against the Twins. Seth Lugo goes on Saturday. Brady Singer on Sunday. They build in the off day on Friday in case there's a rainout on Thursday for opening day. Bobby Witt bobbleheads will be given out to the first 30,000 fans that arrive at Kauffman Stadium for the opener this year. We're looking at a beautiful day, about 67 degrees. Andy Reid is going to throw out the first pitch, and I'm actually kind of interested to see what that looks like. I don't know where you stand on this, but I'm kind of interested in seeing how that goes. For Big Red, they'll have a flyover, a giant American flag. There's going to be all kinds of great pomp and circumstance. There's live music around the stadium. Some people will go and not even go into the game. They'll just go and hang out and tailgate and have some fun, listen on the radio, whatever. You can do that as well. It's $20 to park, which in this day and age sounds like an incredible bargain. As much as I can't believe I'm saying that, but compared to what the Chiefs charge or the Kansas City Current charge for parking in Biden's economy and what everything costs today, it almost seems like a bargain to hand a $20 bill to the Royals for the right to park in their lot, for the right to go to their game that you had to buy a ticket for. There you go. The Royals say they have $20 standing room tickets available. If you don't mind walking around the stadium, there's a few that remain at royals.com. And they still have some standing room quick trip zone tickets, which I'm not sure. This is right center field, as I understand it. You stand along the outside, but I'm told these are $178. But they include all your food and drinks. So I can't tell you I know exactly how the Quick Trip Zone ticket works, but the Royals say they have some standing room tickets left, and some of those are $20. If you want a seat, ticketsforless.com, of course, is the best place to go. They start at about $50 and up pretty much across the board. One of the great tips or pieces of advice that we would have, if you just want to go, is sometimes you can get in at the last minute and save a couple bucks doing it that way. If you want to go there at noon tomorrow with your friends, do some tailgating, listen to some tunes, and you have the discipline to wait until 2:30, 2:45, something like that, to buy your tickets. A lot of times those prices can come down at the last minute because they want to get them sold, and there's not much demand for them that late because nobody is going to buy them at that point and drive to the stadium. It literally would be only people in the parking lot you're competing against. Sometimes you can get tickets, even at Tickets for Less, for a lower price if you wait until the last minute. One of the hard parts of doing that on opening day is a lot of the fun of opening day is getting into your seat 30 minutes before first pitch, seeing the introduction, seeing the flag, seeing the flyover, seeing the first pitch, seeing all these different things that will take place is a big part of opening day. Most people want to get in there probably 30 minutes in advance would be 2:40. So there's your setup for opening day, and we'll see what the Royals look like, and we'll hope that Cole Reagan's is strong on the hill. Royals get some good pitching. I loved one quote about the bullpen I saw from a national baseball writer. He wrote about the Royals' remade bullpen, and you're going to need a scorecard because you haven't heard of any of these guys, except maybe Will Smith, who was here a long time ago and has bounced around quite a bit and could be the closer. We'll just see how the whole thing shakes out in the bullpen. I mean, they have completely turned over the bullpen. I mean, the starting pitching's pretty different too. Alec Marsh has made the starting rotation. He's going to be the fifth starter, not Daniel Lynch, who was sent down. We've got Lugo and Waka, who were acquired, veteran guys that have come in. So the only thing remaining, really, from opening day last year is Brady Singer, because Cole Reagans was picked up and had 12 starts at the end of last year. So four of the five starters for the Royals are different than last year, and the bullpen is completely turned over. The bullpen was described like this, and I'll take this, because the Royals' bullpen was just dreadful last year. Even in games that they had the ability to win, were in position to win, they were tied or down a run in the sixth inning or something like that, the Royals' bullpen was so bad, you just knew they weren't going to win the game. This year, a national baseball writer referred to the Royals' bullpen as a national chain restaurant. So we'll use Applebee's. Since Applebee's is from Kansas City, we'll use it. You know what I'm talking about, Applebee's, Chili's, all the national chain restaurants, Outback Steakhouse, whatever may be the case. And he said, look, if you hear somebody talking about anybody on this relief staff, or if you hear somebody talking about what they had at Applebee's, it's not good news. It means there was a failure. He said, this Royals bullpen is a restaurant chain. Everything there is good, nothing is great, and nothing stinks. That's it. It's a national chain. There's decent quality control. You're not going to be blown away at any exceptionalism. There's not a star. There's not one menu item. You go, oh, maybe the Bloomin' Onion at Outback. Maybe. I mean, seriously. This is why we love this podcast, and we can say sports, politics, and life. If you don't love a Bloomin' Onion, I can't help you. The Bloomin' Onion's incredible. So maybe that's the exception, and maybe the Royals have a Bloomin' Onion somewhere in the bullpen. And wouldn't that be nice if some menu item on their fast, casual national dining chain experience popped up and became a star, or the star of the show anyway? That would be pretty cool. But as bad as the Royals were, we'll take a good burger, a nice chicken sandwich, an inexpensive steak that's not chewy. We'll take that. Some hot fries, a salad that's cold and crisp. It doesn't have to be the greatest thing you've ever had. It just can't stink. And if the Royals' bullpen is just average, if it found a way to be middle of the pack in Major League Baseball, this team's got a shot. Team's got a shot. It's opening day. That's why we started with the Royals. Okay, on a related note, the stadium vote is Tuesday. The Royals want a new downtown ballpark. You know about this. We talked about it on the podcast yesterday. We recently had Patrick Tuohy on the podcast, who was great. He's with the Show Me Institute, and he's a really smart dude. He has written a great column that you should go read at showmeinstitute.org. It's showmeinstitute.org. Tuohy writes a column that's titled, Yes, Mr. Mayor, There Are Fewer Flights at KCI. Tuohy's basically been running around saying, vote for this if you want to give money to teams. But that's all it is. There will be no economic impact. There will be no giant improvement for downtown. The things that they are selling us and telling us about a downtown ballpark are not true. They have not happened in other cities. Tuohy's not against it. He's like me. If this is the will of the people and you want to vote yes, and you want the Royals to build a new downtown ballpark, that's democracy. Let's do it. Let's vote yes and let's build a ballpark. I'm not standing in your way. Nobody should stand in your way. Let the people have what they want. Tuohy merely points out what the Royals and Chiefs are saying simply aren't true. And he uses Mayor Q, who's largely staying out of this one, if you haven't noticed. He wants this to pass. He's a yes guy. But he's not as vocal about this as he was the airport. He uses Mayor Q's quotes against him, and all the things Mayor Q said is the airport before it was open, as it was opening, since it's open, and proven him wrong. Because Mayor Q completely and utterly runs around and distorts and lies about the new airport. I like the new airport. You probably like the new airport. It is a massive improvement over the old KCI. People who complain about where will I park haven't found that to be a problem. If you like cheaper parking, you're still riding the shuttle bus in. If you like parking right by the terminal, you're getting in that garage and you're parking. Unless it's spring break or Christmas, and then it could be fall. I love the new airport. I'm all about it. I'm totally good with it. So don't get me wrong here. But Mayor Q is wrong. It didn't do what the sales pitch was. See, the sales pitch in Kansas City, that we need something nicer and newer, and we need to, like, Kansas City's always 10 years at least behind everybody else. So we don't ever say, we need to do this because we're behind everybody else, and we need to have this. We don't ever, that's never the pitch. The pitch is, oh my God, the economic impact, this is going to be incredible. And that's always a lie. And Patrick Toohey points out that traffic is down at the new KCI. Of course, we had COVID, but so he went back before COVID. January of 2020 versus January of 2024, the new airport has 10% fewer flights and even more, well, even fewer passengers than that. 2020 annually to 2023 annually, flights were down 14%. So what happened when you built a new airport was costs went up for the airlines. They're essentially taxed to pay for their part. They had to build out new gates. They had to do all this stuff. When the prices go up, the number of people traveling goes down. They wind up with fewer flights because of higher costs, and each flight is now more crowded. So what we truly have with a new airport is fewer flights and more crowded airplanes. That's the result of the new airport. They would never have pitched that. They would never have said, if you give us a new terminal, if you vote yes on a new terminal at KCI, we're going to have fewer flights that are more crowded, but dang, we're going to have this nice new airport. Nobody would have voted for that. So they had to lie to you. They had to tell you there'd be more flights and it would be more convenient and more this and more that. Most Kansas Cityans don't eat at the airport. You may grab something and get on the plane, but the nice restaurants they have there, I'm glad they're there. Because yes, there are people that get stuck at KCI, transferring on Southwest, going somewhere else, and they need a place to eat. I'm proud of the airport. If people go to the airport, there's a civic pride to this. You say, isn't this nice? I'm not fond of what they did with the bathrooms and some of the goofy liberal stuff that is just screaming out loud inside the new KCI. I think it's embarrassing. It's not really who we are. But they did what they did. They're in charge. It's Kansas City. The liberals in charge. They're going to do that. Nothing we can do other than outvote them. You're not going to outvote them in Kansas City. You're not. But Toohey's just such an astute guy, and we love him for pointing out that everything they told us about the airport was wrong. Doesn't make the airport a mistake. Doesn't mean you don't like it. It doesn't mean I don't like it. It just means that what they tell you before the vote and what happens after the vote are two entirely different things. And right now, the Chiefs and Royals, well, the Chiefs are the biggest scam in this thing. I mean, at least the Royals have botched this thing through and through, but at least they say they're building a new stadium. I don't know what the hell the Chiefs are doing with their money. If you can figure that out, you know, it's a grift on their part because they're going to use it to destroy the lower bowl and rip it out and do the World Cup. There's nobody saying vote yes on April 2nd to financially support the World Cup. Nobody's saying that, but that's indeed what this is. It will be supporting the World Cup. The Chiefs will be using a lot of this money to change around Arrowhead for that field and all the stuff they're going to do for the World Cup. Don't even think twice. That's exactly what this money is going to be used for. And they say they're going to turn when they pull out those seats in the lower bowl, when they rip those out, they're going to turn those into field suites in the end zone. That's probably true, but that's still part of the World Cup plan. We have asked for years, how are they going to pay for the World Cup? Who's paying for it? Well, you're looking at it. And if it doesn't work now, it'll be next April. They'll put it back on the ballot and try it again. They don't tell you that. That's the worst part of all these things. And the community benefits thing drives me crazy. We talked about that yesterday. That's just insane. That's just throwing money away. There's a lot of waste. There's a lot of liberal in this thing. It's just Jackson County, it's nutty because there are people on the left that don't like this either. Like Frank White is a Democrat and he's against it. But most people think that's just a personal agenda against the Royals that he's had. I don't know. But Patrick Toohey, thumbs up, buddy. Nice work. You should go read this. It's pretty cool. At showmeinstitute.org, Patrick Toohey writes, yes, Mr. Mayor, there are fewer flights at KCI. What they told us would happen did not happen. Ronna McDaniel is the former chair of the Republican National Committee. She is out at NBC News. That lasted about a week. I don't like Ronnie McDaniel. I never have. Look, here's what NBC News did. We're going to make too big a deal out of this because we know what NBC is. They're probably the farthest left of all these people. They hire Ronnie McDaniel because their favorite thing in media on the left is to find somebody that was a Republican and turn them into a media star that bashes the Republican Party. You know who I'm talking about. Michael Steele, who was chairman of the RNC. Chris Christie's doing this. There's all kinds of people that considered themselves Republicans that will take a fat paycheck from a liberal network and go on there and talk bad about Donald Trump. So there's no shortage of that. So NBC hired Ronnie McDaniel to come on and badmouth Trump. They famously didn't care for each other. Ronnie McDaniel is out. She did not do a good job as RNC chair. It's all, did you win or did you lose? I mean, it's like sports. You're the manager or the general manager. Did you win or did you lose? Nobody's questioning Brett Beach or Andy Reid, but we've questioned quite a few coaches and general managers in the past, haven't we? But not now because they're winning. Ronnie McDaniel not winning. So they hire her, and it was the worst. It was cringeworthy to watch the interview. I thought she was on as a guest. I didn't know they hired her. And she's on Meet the Depressed on Sunday. And this lady's on there just asking these ridiculous questions that only, I mean only, the hardest left, most political people in America would care about. She's revisiting January 6th. She's revisiting the election. And at no point is she fighting back saying, well, don't talk to me about being an election denier or Trump denying the election. Hillary Clinton did the same thing, and so did Al Gore. Why don't they ever answer the question that way? Don't talk to me about election denial when we had Hillary Clinton calling Trump an illegitimate president and Al Gore going to court over a fraudulent election against George W. Bush. Your party invented election denial. Why doesn't anybody ever say that? Nobody ever fights back when they're asked about this. Trump doesn't even say it. They all denied 2016. They're the inventors of election denial. And there's Ronna McDaniel, like a fighter on the ropes, just taking it on the chin from this host. I mean, she's just getting clobbered right and left. And waiting in the next segment is up Chuck Todd. And he's coming in, and he's going to be a panelist now because he's no longer the host. And he comes on as a panelist, and he starts ripping NBC for hiring Ronna McDaniel. I'm not sure people watching the interview knew that they'd hired her. So everybody on the staff is upset that Ronna McDaniel's there because she's an election denier, and we can't have a Republican in here, and da-da. The staff revolts. The muckety-mucks at NBC decided, we're done. We're firing Ronna McDaniel. She's out. This is very predictable. And forget the point of this. I don't really want to get into journalism and media. You know what NBC News is about, so none of this is surprising, nor do I really care what they did. And I'm not going to slam them because they're doing what I expect them to do. The point of this is we don't have Michael Steele. We don't have Ronna McDaniel. We don't have Chris Christie or Mitt Romney or Mitch McConnell or one of these people running the Republican National Committee now. We have Michael Whatley, who you couldn't pick out of a crowd, but you're sleeping well at night knowing that Donald Trump handpicked Michael Whatley to run this thing. There is going to be no rhino in Michael Whatley. There's going to be in this business, the Republican National Committee, inside the organization, there will be no never Trumpers. Zero. Whatley is an accomplished attorney, an election law specialist. He is the boss now, and we don't question any of that. Now, does this work? Is this better? I think so. I feel better that it's going this way. There's no guarantee of outcomes. I can't tell you that he's, you know, Bill Belichick or Andy Reid or Nick Saban and is just going to win, win, win. I can't promise you that. But dang, it feels good to not have a rhino in there. And Trump has seized control of this party. And if he wins, he's going to take control of it for a long, long time, just like Obama has. Because everybody that's going to be hired, put in place, lifted up tickets in winning positions is going to be like Trump. And there will be a ripple effect. Even if he dies, it will be a ripple effect for years. This is all positive news. I'm sorry, I'm not shedding any tears for Ronna McDaniel. I'm just not. And I mean, you know everything you needed to know about her, that she took the money from NBC and was going to go on and bash Trump. I'm glad they fired her. Somebody will pick her up. because they're going to be like, whoa, okay. Now she's really worth something because everybody's talking about her. And they'll think we're really fair and honest here at CNN if we bring Ronna McDaniel in. Well, all she's going to do is badmouth Trump. That's all she's going to do. KKHI is brought to you by Cross Kitchens, Kansas City, online at crosskitchenskc.com. Tim Cross, his wife Brittany, run a great mom-and-pop business. They are on the job every day. Their craftsmen that do their work have been working with them for years. All right, they're not strapped trying to find labor. They've got skilled craftsmen that do all the work, whether it's their cabinet people, their painters, their trim carpenters, their skilled countertop folks, flooring. These are folks that have been with Tim for a long time. You're going to get great work at a great price from Cross Kitchens KC. If you're considering anything remodeled at your home, call 816-898-7047 for crosskitchenskc.com. Window World is your go-to for new windows this spring. For a free analysis and estimate, call Window World at 816-799-0820. They're online at windowskansascity.com. They have doors, siding, lifetime warranty, American-made products, and 0% financing available. If you need a new screen door or door out to your deck or a back door or storm doors, they have all those. They do siding if you need to put new siding on your home. They've got a great selection of that. And, of course, the world-famous Window World windows. The best window at the best price is why Window World is simply the best for less. The official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Finch Knife Company is now featuring the Hellfire Pocket Knife. There's three different handles available. They're really cool. They're online at finchknifeco.com, along with every other knife they've ever made. You can order any of them online, have them shipped anywhere in the world, no matter where you live or listen. If you're in the military listening to the podcast and you're stationed overseas, they got it for you, and they'll ship it to you. The Hellfire from Finch Knife Co. If you live in Kansas City, head on over to Shields in Overland Park. They've got a great selection of Finch pocket knives right there in the sporting goods area with the guns and the knives upstairs, or other locations around town, or their network of dealers that you can find on their website, finchknifeco.com. Total panic at the Democrat Party over RFK Jr. selecting Nicole Shanahan as his running mate for vice president. And the reason is, well, there's only one reason. They're afraid RFK is going to get on the ballot everywhere. Nicole Shanahan has deep pockets. She's the ex-wife of a Google co-founder. She's a lawyer. She's already poured a ton of money into the RFK campaign. So she basically bought her way to the vice presidential ticket. She's 38 years old. She says she's a disillusioned Democrat, and she's going to try to court disillusioned Republicans, whatever that is. Here's what I know. Nicole Shanahan is not taking one Trump voter away. Not one. Now, the rhinos that say they're not going to vote for Trump anyway and are looking for somebody else to vote for, she may get those and lock some of those up. I doubt it. She's a vice presidential candidate. Won't likely work. If she takes anything, in my opinion, she's going to take women. She's going to take young abortion freak women, the Swifties. The preachy females that James Carville talks about. That's who she's going to get to this ticket, and those are all Biden voters. So this is a big week for Donald Trump. He saved a bunch of money in court. RFK's selection is excellent here. If he selected Mike Rowe or even Manchin or somebody like that, you could see maybe this would hurt the Trump ticket a little bit. This couldn't be going better. The Democrats have gone crazy. They had a conference call yesterday with leading Democrats and journalists around the country, which is how the Democrats do it. When they're in panic mode and they need help, they have these big conference calls. They get conference calls going and they start talking about RFK and Nicole Shanahan, and they start the journalism machine cranking out stories, and here they go. They said this is dangerous. She's dangerous. All the hits started coming. They're trying to, create some sort of a narrative. The DNC and the Democrats, the well-funded Democrats, are now hiring an army of lawyers to go after RFK to keep him off the ballot. More election interference. They're going after Trump in courts. They're going after RFK to keep him off the ballot. So they'll be filing lawsuits in states everywhere to stop him from getting on the ballot. This is unbelievable how undemocratic the Democrats are. They do not want fair votes. The last thing they want is open, fair, transparent, and honest votes. They're not interested. And now they're going to turn so much of their attention to RFK to keep him off, because there is not a poll anywhere that shows if RFK is on the ballot in the 7 or 8 swing states, it's over. Trump wins. It's done. It's over. With the polling's very clear on this, that he takes Biden votes away. It's very clear. And they know this. So they're going to focus, obviously, in the swing states. They're not going to worry about California at this point. But they're going to focus on the swing states. And right now, RFK becomes a huge target of smear attacks from the Democrats. And most of this will be ballot access work. And it will be lawyers. And now there is discussion, because No Labels is actually on more ballots than RFK. Will No Labels and RFK sort of coalesce? Because No Labels has not said who their candidate is. Will it become RFK? And then he becomes the No Labels candidate, which is kind of weird because it'll be two Democrats. It's going to be two Democrats, hard left Democrats, by the way. There's certain things RFK is left of Biden on, like the environment, Green New Deal spending and stuff like that. He's farther left than Biden. He's way left on a handful of things. But reasonable on things like we got to have a closed border. We have to have a free speech in this country and cannot allow big tech to censor free speech. There are certain things, and vaccines and healthcare and, you know, good food. Those are things that people in most people in America, regardless of party, would agree on. We should have a closed border. We should be careful what we put in our bodies. That seems pretty reasonable. But some of the other things, it's all far left. So you'd have literally two elitist far left people running on the No Labels ticket. So I'm not sure they can go RFK and Nicole Shanahan. More panic from the Democrats was displayed on Tuesday with Karine Jean-Pierre. Karine Jean-Pierre was on a Charlotte, North Carolina radio show with the news director of the radio station named Mark Garrison. This is not a show host. This is the news director. This is the guy that does the updates, goes and covers stories. You know, if you listen to like KCMO, KMBZ, these stations, they have a news guy, not a show host. So the White House contacts this station in Charlotte and says, the president is coming to North Carolina and we'd like to do a little, they want to get on radio because they want people to come to the rally. Nobody goes to his rallies. So Karine Jean-Pierre is going to be interviewed by Mark Garrison. Well, Mark Garrison gets on and he's basically extracting sound bites here that they're going to do news coverage. This is not a host. This isn't going on Kevin Kietzman Has Issues and getting, you know, sideswiped by a podcast host or something like that. They handpicked this guy in this station. What does Mark Garrison start doing? He starts asking legitimate questions. First out of the chute, Karine Jean-Pierre, does President Biden have dementia? Simple question. And she doesn't like the question. I'm insulted. She's offended. Blah, blah, blah. You know how she handles these things, not very well. And he said, okay, this is not a guy. He was not going to debate her. He's just asking questions. The next one's a very simple question. How does the president expect to earn people's vote when they don't have as much money to buy the things they need? Now she's had it. And she says, well, we've done this and we've done that, and stammers through a couple of paragraphs of mishy-mushy stuff about what Biden's done on the economy. He's done more this than any other president. And she goes, and with that, Mark, thank you for your time. I've got to go. Take care. And she hangs up the phone. And the interview is over. She'd had it with Mark Garrison. You're asking me about a bad economy and a president with dementia. Well, really, if you're going to do an interview, what do you think people are... What does Karine Jean-Pierre think we are talking about out here regarding her boss? Those aren't even groundbreaking questions. They're just logical questions. He's not reinventing the wheel here. But God bless him for doing it. So then he goes on a show host, a hosted show in the afternoon, a local guy that does the show. This Garrison goes on and says, we'll play the whole thing here. It's not very long. They play the whole thing, and now the host is just railing on her. Oh, my God. So she becomes, and Biden becomes the topic. They called a North Carolina radio station because the president of the United States was going to go there and have a campaign speech, and they wanted people to come to the rally, and it turns into a crap show for the entire campaign as the hosts are now making fun of them because she quit on an interview because she doesn't like a real question. How in the world are they going to get... See, you can't run from what people know and feel. You can't do it, and they will not face it. They simply won't face it. He didn't even get to ask a question about immigrants in the open border. He didn't even get there, but she had to know it was coming, and she's like, I'm out, man. I'm out. This is a huge... You cannot overstate how important a presidential race is locally. Like, Trump's going to win Kansas and Missouri. Most of the listeners who listen to this are in Kansas or Missouri right now, so we don't have a lot of this going on. They're not calling me saying, hey, I want to come on the podcast and promote my rally and whatever. We know Trump's going to win Kansas and Missouri, but North Carolina is a battleground. I don't see any way when this has got to just be a massive story in the state of North Carolina. Massive story. That your single job as White House spokesperson is to do interviews and talk about your president and the policies. She has a singular job, and she quit in the middle of it with a local news reporter, not a show host arguing with her, not somebody offending her, not some, you know, she didn't go on with Rush Limbaugh or something. She just went on with a guy asking questions, and she couldn't handle it, and she hangs up. I'm telling you, man, I just, there is no way he's going to be the candidate. I know I just keep saying that on every podcast. There's no way, because he can't win. He can't win. He can't win. The only way he wins is if they completely and utterly cheat. There's no way. He can't win. We can see that. We can feel that. We know that. We have people in our lives that may have voted for him or we're considering. They're like, oh, my God. I mean, I got a couple of kids who probably want to vote for a Democrat. I don't think they're going to vote. I think they're just going to stay home. I don't think they can vote for that guy. They might go vote for RFK. I got one kid switching, maybe going to Trump. We'll see. November's a long ways away, but it's a far different deal than it was a few years ago because we see what's happened. We see the facts. Sports Today brought to you by friends at robertsrobinson.com. I spoke with Tim Trader. He's the sales manager there yesterday, and I'm heading up there next week to get new tires on my Chevy Blazer. They do great service work at Roberts Robinson, and they actually charge less than the city dealerships. So if you want to get certified Chevy, GMC, any kind of GM work done on your car, they're a great place to go, but they service all makes and models. If you just want an oil change or new tires or rotation or, you know, regular service, they'll pick your car up, service it for you, and bring it back to you. They're really amazing like that. They also have a great lineup of brand new Chevys and GMCs. They're the home of the lifetime warranty. You can shop online, deliver at home, build your own. 0.9% financing is back. Check it all out at robertsrobinson.com or visit the dealership in Excelsior Springs. Back 9 Development is Kansas City's custom home builder. If you're thinking about building, or if you're thinking about building a business or starting some sort of an apartment complex or condo complex, Back 9 Development will work with you on all of those things. Just call TJ Vilkanskis and say, I've got land, I've got investors, I've got this, and we want to try to do this. What do you think? And meet with the man. He's got great vision, and his execution is flawless. Right now, he's featuring the Dunes in Lansing. 8 massive, over 3-acre lots available for your custom home to be built around a lake. Pretty cool stuff. Also, the lofts at 1700 in Manhattan are brand new condos, 2-bedroom, 2-bath, sold individually with a starting price of $249 in Manhattan. Perfect for a second place or a weekend place for the football weekends, or if you've got a kid going to college, that's better than renting because the price of all these things go up. TJ Vilkanskis, back9development.com. And Advantage Termite and Pest Control is online at Advantage TPC. I think I owe somebody a text. Did somebody text me this week? Somebody I know text me or email me, hey, what's the name of the pest guy? Dang, did I get back to you? I'll tell you what. I shouldn't go there. This podcast is so unbelievable. I hear from more people now via email, text. I don't read the direct messages and stuff on social media. Jessica does the Facebook page. Phone calls. I've got more people reaching out to me now than I ever did in radio. And sometimes I can't keep up with it. Literally, every day, every 2 hours, I have to go do emails. Otherwise, I'll get so far behind, it will take all day to catch up. It's crazy. I feel like somebody either emailed or texted me and said, what's the name of the dude at Advantage Termite? It's Aaron Wolcott, and his number is 913-768-8989. There. I should just have an auto reply. Listen to the podcast. Just go to the KK list, folks. Go to thekklist.com. They're all right there. They're all in one place, the KK list, including Advantage Termite and Pest Control, the only company you will ever need. I was stunned over the last 24 hours that I did not hear from one Iowa fan ripping me about my comments Tuesday on Caitlin Clark. I don't like her. I'm willing to say it. I don't like her. She's flopped. She's egotistical. She's full of crap. She says that more people are interested in watching the women's tournament than the men's tournament. She was MFing a fan the other day. I don't like her. She's a great player, but there's plenty of great players I don't like. I didn't like Tiger Woods forever. Just because you're great doesn't mean I have to like you. I didn't like LeBron James. He's been a great player. I can name all kinds of players in all kinds of sports that I didn't like. I can't believe there was a time I didn't like Peyton Manning. Now, I've never liked John Elway, and I'm never getting over that. I don't like the guy. I got no time for him. But I didn't like Peyton Manning, so I thought he was kind of a jerk to his teammates. And I it was overexposure, I think, is what it was. Well, I'm so Caitlin Clark overexposed, I can't see straight right now. I don't care. I'll watch the championship game. I'm not that into women's college basketball. The game, to me, as I saw a couple highlights of it, read some accounts, looked a little rigged the other night, the free throw disparity. But she won and got to the Sweet 16. The ratings are in from the first week of the tournament. Iowa was the highest rated game in the first round for women. It was the highest rated game. But, for example, the North Carolina-Michigan game, more than double what the women's game was for a TV rating. More than double. And she's claiming that the tournament as a whole does better than the men's tournament. There's more interest in the women's tournament than the men's. She's thinking that because she's feeling people care for the first time. Like, she's been playing basketball forever, and like all of a sudden there's attention on it. There's media here. There's people in the seats. There's a thing going on, so she thinks it's bigger than the men's. Average television rating. The men's tournament is beating the women's tournament by more than 10 to 1. 10 to 1. So that means for every 11 people that like watching college basketball, one of those 11 will be watching the women's tournament. She's just off her rocker. That's all. It's gone to her head. That's fine. It happens. I've seen it happen before with a gazillion athletes. But when I see it happen, I don't like somebody. And that's okay. I want to thank the Iowa fans for not blasting me about this. She is unlikable. We know that you love her. It's okay that you love her. We all, you know how many people don't like Patrick Mahomes? He's a jerk too. Honestly, he sits there and that little hand thing he does to his offensive coordinator, give me the play. Come on, man. I'm Patrick Mahomes. Give me the play. If you're not a Chiefs fan, there's a lot about the Chiefs you don't like. It's okay to like your guys and other people not. It's actually a compliment. It is a compliment for other people to not like your star player. We all hated Tom Brady forever. It's a compliment. Iowa fans, embrace it. Embrace the hate. I can't be the only person that is already sick of Caitlin Clark and will never watch her play in the WNBA. When she's gone from college, we won't hear about her, thankfully. Should we often think WNBA? Even the media is complicit in this. They're pushing this like the women's tournament. It's doing way better than it's ever done, which is great. I'm all for that. Don't compare it to the men's tournament. Just don't. Just don't. They've been trying to compare the WNBA to the NBA forever. The NBA isn't even that big of a deal. Their TV ratings stink. But the women's ratings are a fraction of stink. Ugh. Sweet 16 reset in Vegas. Oh, this is the men's tournament. Should I denote that? UConn is the Vegas favorite, followed by Houston, Purdue, Arizona, and North Carolina. There's the top five favorites. It seems it would be unlikely that one of those five teams doesn't win. I think it was Andy Katz, one of the national guys. Seth Greenberg, maybe it was. I like Seth Greenberg. said at the start of this tournament, I will be stunned if UConn, Houston, or Purdue does not win this tournament. Right now, UConn and Purdue look better than Houston. Arizona and UNC maybe do too. We'll see how it all plays out. It's going to be a fun Sweet 16. I know we don't have a dog in this fight. Iowa State's still alive. I guess we can all root for them. I don't know anybody that doesn't like Iowa State. I don't even think Iowa fans hate Iowa State. I don't think it's that kind of rivalry. Every KU, K-State, or Missouri fan that I ever met, or even Nebraska fans, Oklahoma, they're all like, yeah, we like Iowa State. Like, you'd love your little brother. Like, anybody can root for Iowa State. So there you go. Let's jump on that bandwagon. The NFL has changed its kickoff rule, according to reports. Owners have approved the kickoff rule. They're basically turning into the XFL kickoff rule. Here's how this works, and this is a big deal, folks. Here's why it's a big deal. XFL games average 8.5 kick returns per game, kickoff returns. The NFL last year averaged 2.2. In the Super Bowl last year, there were zero. Both teams had great kickers who just bombed it out of the end zone. Zero kick returns. Those days are over. The first kick return of the new rules will be the Chiefs game at Arrowhead on Thursday night to start the season. The kicker will kick from the 30. If you kick it in the end zone, out of the end zone, if that's your game plan, if that's what you do, it's my understanding the team is going to get the ball at the 40-yard line. So you don't kick it out of the end zone. The kicker is going to stand back there at their own 30 all alone. At the opposing 30 is going to be the receiving team's 10 blockers. On the opposing 35-yard line, 5 yards away, is going to be the kicking team's 10 tacklers. None of those 20 players can move until the kick is caught by the return man who stands near the goal line. As soon as he catches it, the play is on. This is so much better. They stopped kickoffs because of injuries. There's no data, and there's actually data in the XFL that this prevents injuries. This is more regular football. The guys are 5 yards apart. They start blocking each other. You go tackle a guy, and you have a real football play. We're expecting to see way more kickoffs than not returned. This is pretty cool stuff. It doesn't sound like much. Folks, they scattered those kickoffs between commercial breaks. They'd do a 3-minute commercial break, come back, kick it out of the end zone, do a 2-minute commercial break. You'd go 6 minutes without seeing a football play. We saw this over and over and over, and nobody likes it. Now, if you're older and you got a tiny bladder, you know, maybe it's a big deal that you got time to go to the bathroom every time and not miss anything. But for my money, all of football can change to this. College can do this too. I mean, if they're really worried about player safety, which they don't seem to be as much in college, I think you could just back it up another 5 yards and get more kickoffs. I'd be okay with that too. Anything for more actual football plays in a game is good for business, and the NFL knows that. How about this scandal with former Missouri star Jontay Porter from Columbia, Missouri? Jontay Porter has a two-way contract with Toronto in the NBA. He only makes $415,000 a year. He barely plays. But a couple weeks ago, he played and got hurt. He got an eye injury. 4 days later, he's ready to play, and there's been a lot of betting on Jontay Porter at DraftKings and other sites on under. Like under 4.5 points a game, under 0.5 three-pointers. They saw unusual amounts of people betting it and an unusual amount of money. Well, of course they saw that and lost. They wouldn't tell us when they saw an unusual amount of betting and won, would they? They went straight to the NBA whining and complaining that there's some sort of scandal going on with Jontay Porter. And they say it's because he only makes $415,000 a year. He's working with bettors, and he's going to go out there, and if he gets a three-pointer, he's going to miss it. Now, I can't imagine how stupid Jontay Porter would have to be to do that. If you're on a two-way contract and you get a chance to play, you better be trying to make every basket you can to stay in the NBA and make some real money. I don't think you're out there trying to scape a couple thousand dollars a night out of missing three-pointers. I could be wrong. Maybe he's in debt. Maybe he feels like he's never going to make it as a real NBA player. I don't know. But the NBA is investigating Jontay Porter. The Porters, of course, are from Columbia. And he's a good player, but he's not the kind of player you expect to score more than 5 points or to hit 2 3-pointers in a game. And so there's been a lot of activity on his unders. but he has been hurt. I don't know. Maybe he tells a friend who knows a lot of people. My eye's not good, man. I can't see. It'll be limited action tonight. The last one, he went under. He only played 3 minutes, and they took him out of the game. And after the game, he said he just couldn't see. His eye injury was so bad, it was in pain, and he couldn't see right, and so he came out of the game. So they're wondering if he told somebody related to sports gambling, I'm coming out of this thing saying I'm hurt tonight. And so bet the unders on me. Again, you're just betting on the player to not score that night, and he certainly could control that. So this is a legitimate thing, I guess, to look at. I just want one time for DraftKings or somebody to step up and say, boy, we saw a lot of suspicious betting here, but we won a bunch of money. They were all wrong. Because I know that happens. I just want them to come forward once and say that. Dr. Jeremy Fry and his team of orthodontists would love to treat you, your child, anyone in your family or circle, to a great new smile. Teeth love us. You will too at fryorthodontics.com with 14 locations. Get that perfect smile for life that's right for you. Individual goals are the key to the best treatment. And you will get that. Your first appointment is free. fryorthodontics.com for a consultation on what you would like to do. Great Life KC, play more golf. Golf and fitness memberships all over Kansas City, including the Classic membership. 6 courses, 1 price from Leavenworth to Blue Springs for an individual or a family. Or you can join one of the signature clubs like Staley Farms, Prairie Highlands, where I live, Falcon Ridge, Canyon Farms. You call my man Jay Elzey over at Falcon Ridge. They've got a handful of memberships left for this year. The number there is 393-GOLF. That's 393-4653. Ask for Jay Elzey at Falcon Ridge. Say, I want to get paired up with the Keatsmans sometime. Because we play as a twosome a lot. They just pair us up with other folks at Falcon Ridge. That's kind of fun. They've done a lot of nice renovations. They've got a really great turn menu that doesn't cost much money. This is great golf at a great price. Canyon Farms is an awesome club in Lenexa on 87th Street by Lenexa City Center. They've got a handful of memberships available this year. If you'd like to join, go to greatlifekc.com. That's greatlifekc.com or send an email to join@greatlifegolf.com. And Dr. Van Camp is going to be at our patron party on Thursday for the Royals opener. He's coming. Dr. Van Camp is coming to our patron party from Ideal Health KC. We're going to have several of our sponsors there, and a lot of folks like to ask them questions about their business, this, that, whatever. Chris is going to be there from B-Stock. I mean, a lot of folks are going to be there. A lot of our sponsors are going to be there. It's going to be cool. Dr. Van Camp is a really interesting guy. If you find him and get in a conversation with him at our watch party, that will be the most interesting thing you could possibly do at a Royals watch party ever. His office is idealhealthkc.com. It's regenerative medicine, and his phone number is 913-745-5300. Dr. Van Camp at idealhealthkc.com. Our final, I like to point out when we're winning, and I can't claim this as a victory, but God, it feels like a big win. There's been this television commercial that plays forever. It was on during The Voice. Was it last night or Monday night it came on? I flip a lot during commercials, but not as much as I used to because we've got the Spectrum streaming on a couple of TVs and it doesn't change channels as fast as a cable remote. So I don't flip as much as I used to. I used to just melt the clicker down. But there's this product for urinary tract infections. And this commercial's been on for a couple of years. It's been on Fox News. It's a cute young couple. She says, my name is whatever, and my partner Spencer and I, after I had 8 UTIs in 1 year, and that's where I grabbed the clicker. I'm like, 8 UTIs, lady? Like, I'm changing the channel. I love you. You're sweet. That's awesome. I don't want to hear about your 8 UTIs. I'm sorry. Got enough of my own issues. That's why I named the podcast what I did. I don't care about your UTIs. Sometimes you can't grab the clicker fast enough. So I've seen the commercial 1,000 times. After I had 8 UTIs in 1 year, me and my partner Spencer did something about it. I thought, your partner Spencer, that's just such a liberal thing to say because it's your boyfriend. Well, I don't know. They started apparently their own business and this product is theirs. So I'm guessing they're getting rich. But I think there's a chance they got a lot of feedback. The script has now changed, and she says, my husband, Spencer, and I. Now, legitimately, they probably got married, and maybe she would still refer to him as a partner, not a boyfriend. But this one feels like a win. Now that I don't have to hear, like, the word partner is one of the oddest words in the English language now. It really is. I mean, I got to a point where I would say, in the last few years at Union Broadcasting, I'd say, yeah, you know, my partner, Todd, or whatever. I'd be like, it just sounded so wrong. It's a weird word in our language now. And I don't know why any woman would turn to her man and say, this is my partner. That's so cold. Boyfriend isn't right either. It's good, but it's accepted. We know what it is. I don't know. Lover? I don't have the answer for this at this point. I just know partner is very cold and sterile and very liberal. It just screamed liberalism on this. I'm going to bet they sell even more product going forward now that she says, my husband, Spencer, and I. Poor Spence had to deal with 8 UTIs in 1 year. I'm sorry, that was really sexist. But I'm not going to edit it out because we just do this thing honestly. Sometimes, top of my mind, there it is. Kevin Keatsman definitely has issues. Hey, if you haven't yet, please hit that like or follow button. It's free. Or subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast. Just hit that button. And if you did me a favor this week, you'd be doing me a huge favor if you just told one person about the podcast. Give it a listen and have him or her, he or she, they or them, hit that like or follow button, and we'll get more and more people listening every day, and that is always a good thing, so we can win some elections in November. With Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.